Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Guys, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for your love and your mercy. It's new to us every morning. Father, we thank you that you not only gave to us the gift of faith, but Father, we thank you that you grow us in this faith. And Father, in this Epiphany season, this season of remembering that you shone your light upon this world, that this light came into this world in the person of Christ, that you made this light possible to come into our hearts because of his death, because of his resurrection, to pay for our sins, that we would be able to receive this gift from you. Father, that then we would be used by you to bring this light into this world. Father, help us today as we think about this topic, this invitation of Jesus to come and walk in his light with him. Father, we thank you for this, and we pray now, Father, that you would speak into our hearts and our minds. Father, equip us, enable us, and encourage us to go forward from this place and to do those good works that you prepared in advance for us. And all of God's children, we all say, amen. Amen. Our sermon text for this weekend is Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Let me read it for us again. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Our sermon is titled, "Jesus is calling you to walk in his light." This reading, this gospel reading, is all about walking. There's a lot of walking that's going on in this text. And so as we begin the time of the message, I want to invite you to open up your worship folders. In your worship folders, if you open it up to where it says sermon, right underneath that it's going to say discipleship notes. There's some spaces there you can take notes. I want to encourage you to open up to that, get out a pen or pencil, and here's why. Because God wants to speak to you today through his word. He really does. And that's why you chose to come here. It's because you want to hear from God from his word. And so I want to encourage you to take advantage of this time, make the most of it, and then take your notes home and pray over them this week and let God lead you in his walk with you. Amen? Amen. Amen. So as we begin the message for today, I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask you to take your right hand and hold it out in front of you like this. Go ahead and do that. And I want to ask you to take up your left hand and point up your pointer finger like this. All right, good. And then I want you to go like this on your right hand. Go like this, up your thumb and up your right pointer finger. That, what you're touching right there in front of you, is the shoreline of Israel. This knuckle right here is the Dead Sea. This knuckle right here is the Sea of Galilee. That bone in your finger connecting those two knuckles, that's the Jordan River. Now I want to give you a quick little map here. In the text for today, it starts out, Jesus has just been baptized. That's kind of preceding the text for today, but that's the context of the text for today. Jesus has just been baptized. Where does that happen? It happens just north of the Dead Sea. It happens across the Jordan River at a place called Bethany, and we have a historic site that we sort of identified as that's where it might have happened. And so that's where Jesus is, just north of the Dead Sea, across the Jordan River, right? And then it says at the beginning of the gospel reading for today that Jesus learns that John the Baptist has been arrested. And then it says that he withdrew. And so why does Jesus withdraw after hearing this news? Jesus withdraws after hearing this news because he knows what's going to happen. He knows that John the Baptist is going to be summarily executed. He's going to be decapitated in the not too far distant future. And so Jesus is sad. Jesus was a man of sorrows at time. I mean, he knew what it was to experience our human emotion of sadness. And so then it says in the text that Jesus withdraws. And if you look at your right hand again, he withdraws, and he's just north of the Dead Sea here. And then he withdraws to a town called Nazareth. And probably the way he would have done that is he would have walked up the Jordan River. That's where you're going to find probably the best route of travel. That's where the modern-day roads are. And then Nazareth is just left of the Sea of Galilee. And by today's travel on today's roads, that's about 90 miles. Now today, for you and I, in a car, that doesn't sound that bad. 90 miles, not a big deal. But Jesus didn't have a car. He probably walked. It was probably not a great walk. It's probably a sad walk. You know, not all journeys in life are happy. And this journey for Jesus was probably not a happy one. He knew what was going to happen. And so he withdraws. He goes roughly 90 miles up to Nazareth. And it's kind of interesting to look at Nazareth, the place that Jesus chooses to go. And Nazareth is where Jesus is going to spend most of his earthly life. And what do we know about Nazareth? Nazareth is a nothing town. If you wanted to go somewhere important in Jesus' day, you only had to go 3.5 miles away. Because in Jesus' day, the capital of that, what we might call state, of that area, was a town called Sepphoris. We don't even talk about that town anymore. It's lost to history, basically. But in Jesus' day, it was a place that the wealthy lived. It was a place that the well-educated lived. It was a place that the religious leaders lived. But it's not where Jesus chose to go. He chooses instead to go to Nazareth. And then in Nazareth, no, don't forget, Nazareth is in the northern kingdom. This is not the southern kingdom. This is not Jerusalem. This is not Judea. This is the northern kingdom. And that area is surrounded by pagans. To the north of Nazareth, you have the Phoenicians. To the west of Nazareth, you have the Philistines. To the south of Nazareth, you have the Edomites. And to the east of Nazareth, you have the Moabites. So you've got this nothing town in this no place destination surrounded by pagans. And Jesus chooses to go there. Why? Why does Jesus choose to go there? Because he's calling people to walk in his light. God does not delight in the destruction of the wicked. He desires that all would be saved, that all would come to a right relationship with him through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if Jesus has to walk to the ends of the earth, if Jesus has to walk to places that nobody else wants to go to, that nobody else wants to be seen or known to be from, then that's what he is willing to do for them and for you today. Can we give God a praise clap for that this morning? Amen? Amen. That's the love of our Savior. But his journey doesn't end in Nazareth. I love this story for today. No, Jesus just keeps walking. Kind of reminds me of that movie, Forrest Gump. When Forrest Gump learns to run, he says, every day after that I was running, right? For Jesus, every day he's just walking, right? Walks the 90 miles up to Nazareth, doesn't stay there. He walks on over to Capernaum. Remember, Capernaum is up on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee. That's about 30 more miles. He walks up there. And as he's walking along, who does he run into? Andrew and Peter. He'd seen them not too long ago down when he was getting baptized, right? Runs into Andrew and Peter up there, and he says to them, come on, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And I love the Greek, it's kai oikos. And immediately they drop what they're doing and they are walking with Jesus. And Jesus keeps walking. And he sees two more brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Those are some wild cats there. They're called the sons of thunder later in Scripture. They would have been a hoot to be around. In my mind here in this church, I can see some members I could see being like James and John. They kind of have that personality too. It's just great. I love James and John kind of people. And James and John are working with their father Zebedee and Zebedee and Sons Fishing Incorporated there. And they're mending the nets. And Jesus says, come on and follow me. Kai oikos. And immediately James and John say, hallelujah, we're following you. And now all five of them are doing what? They're just walking along. And then they're walking, and where are they walking to? They're walking throughout all that region. It says to the Decapolis. That's just an abbreviated shorthand for the 10 cities. And as they're walking, What's Jesus doing? He's doing what any preacher does. He's preaching. He's preaching in every synagogue in the town, in the land. And the fame of him spreads throughout the land, the scripture says. Why? Because he's doing all of these healings, and he's preaching, and the word goes out, and I love how the gospel reading ends. Do you catch that? It ends at the very last verse in the gospel reading for today. It says that, and even those who were across the Jordan River, remember that's where it started, remember? Even those who were across the Jordan River, now they're doing what? They're walking. They're walking up the Jordan River. They're going to Nazareth looking for Jesus. They're going to Capernaum looking for Jesus. Where was he last? They're following him around, trying to catch up to him. Which of the cities is he in? That's the power of Jesus' light in this world. Jesus invited them, and he invites us today, come and walk with me in my light. In the scripture for today, it gives us instructions, brothers and sisters, of what it is to walk in the light of Jesus. And we need to take note of this, and we need to let the light of God's word shine brightly into our lives and upon our actions. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you just go ahead and fight and argue and gossip about each other. No, that's not what it says. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree. And that there be no divisions among you. Except in fall 2020, when there's a national election, then feel free to post all kinds of hatred and nastiness on your social media pages. That's not in the Greek either. No, what it says is, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree that there be no divisions among you, that you would be united in the same mind and the same judgment. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we just need to deal with something with this passage. This is not talking about denominations. That's such a cop-out. This has nothing to do with denominations. There were no denominations back then. There was only one body of Christ. What this has to do with is a local church. Think Faith Lutheran Church. That's what this has to do with. So let's not try and get all theological and say, oh, yes, this is not about denominations. This is about a local body of Christ and how it plays with each other. Do we play like good little Christian boys and girls with each other? Because that's what we're called. That's what we're called to do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when we look at what we are called to do, to walk with Jesus in his light, we would do well to remember just 11 chapters later in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21, where the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you." Why can't the eye say to the hand, I don't need you? The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you, because they're part of the same body. And whose body is this? It's the body of Christ. And so one member in the body cannot look at another member in the local body and say, I don't know what that guy's thinking. I don't understand that. I don't know why they said that. We don't need them. We're not going to have anything to do with them. No, we cannot do that. If we are going to walk as children of the light, brothers and sisters, then we have to look at each other and say, no, they're meant to be here. I don't understand why they do what they do. I don't understand how they think what they think, but they're meant to be here. God has a purpose for them in the body of Christ. And it's not just walking as a child of the light is not just how we walk in the body of Christ in the local church. It's how we walk in our marriages. In our culture in this country, we have made it way too easy to get a divorce. Way too easy. It's way too easy in this country for one spouse to look at the other spouse and say, I don't need you. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what we ever had. But it ain't there today. See ya. We make it way too easy in this country to get a divorce, to ostracize our children, to turn a cold back on our neighbor, our coworker, whatever the case may be. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to walk as children of the light. It's His light. And why are we called to walk as children of the light? Because if we're not, listen to this, if we're not walking in the light as children of the light, this ain't hard. If we're not walking as children of the light in the light, then we are walking in the what? The darkness. That's exactly right. And here's the thing about the darkness. The darkness can't create light on itself. The darkness is never going to point you to the light. The darkness is not where we want to be, because when we walk in darkness, we are walking in fear. We are walking in frustration. We're walking in despair. When we have to walk in darkness, we're afraid. I mean, literally, we're afraid we're going to trip over something. We're afraid we're going to fall over something. We're afraid we're going to make a noise and wake up our spouse, whatever it is. That's not where we want to be. We don't want to be walking in the darkness. Jesus calls us to walk with Him in His light. And that's what His sermons were. It says that when He was going out in that region, that He preached this message. It's such an easy one to remember. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Why would we repent? Because we've been in the darkness. We've been acting like children of the darkness. Why does Jesus call us to repent? He doesn't call you to repent because He wants to stick your nose in it. He doesn't want to hear a litany of, He doesn't want to make you, you know, grovel before Him and lay out a litany of all the things you've done wrong. No, Jesus wants you to repent so that He can give to you what? So that He can give to you forgiveness. That's what He came to do. He didn't come into this world to condemn it, but to save it. He wants to give to you His light, brothers and sisters. That's what He's calling us to be with Him. Listen to these words from Matthew chapter 4, verse 24. It says, His fame spread throughout all of Syria. They brought Him all the sick, those afflicted, oppressed by demons, having seizures, the paralyzed, and He healed them. What a beautiful thing it is to walk in the light. What a beautiful thing it is to read these words of how Jesus healed all these people. But the temptation is to look at that and say, well, that was great for them, but what is He doing here today? I know for me, as I grow older, my back hurts. My right hip hurts. As I look in the mirror, I see more and more of these gray hairs sticking out. This is kind of what happens as I get older. And I don't think it's going to get any better for me. I know I can try and change my diet. I can try and exercise more. I've got a wonderful wife, and she encourages me. And, you know, and you can do these things. But in the end, I know that one day, and it's not that far off, my eyesight is going to be dim. My hearing's going to be weak. My back's going to hurt more. My hips are going to hurt more. But I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to be joyful. Because the Bible tells us that which is sown imperishable, that which is sown perishable is raised imperishable. The Bible tells us that a single seed must be planted into the ground and it must die. And that after it's died, then the plant comes up. When you hold that kernel of corn in your hand, there's no stalk there. There's no leaves there. There's no fruit there, no corn there to be eaten. There's none of that. No, that seed of corn, that kernel of corn needs to be planted down in the ground. It needs to be buried. It needs to die. And then it's going to rise up, and it's going to be something completely different, something so much better. And when that day comes for me, I'm not walking in the darkness. I'm not afraid. I'm walking in the light of my Savior. Because I know that for me, I'm going to be buried in the ground. And I know that one day the trumpet's going to sound. He's going to return. The angels are going to be in his train. And when that day happens, my body is going to be raised from the dead. And what was sown perishable is going to be raised imperishable. What Jesus did then, Jesus does for us today. And he makes that possible for you today in the waters of baptism. He gives you the gift of faith. At the Lord's table, he strengthens in your faith. And he invites you today to come and walk with him as a child of the light. And if you've never accepted his invitation, I want to encourage you today to do that. And if you have accepted his invitation, I want to encourage you today to renew that commitment, that desire to walk with him even closer. Because that's what he wants to bless you with. And he wants to use you as a blessing to bring this light into the Nazareth of our time, into the communities of our space that are not hearing the gospel, into the relationships that we are aware of where his light is not shining. That's why our mission statement is so important. That we're going to glorify God by spreading the gospel. We're pretty clear about it. We're going to do it through our preaching. We're going to do it through our teaching. And we're going to do it through living our daily lives. I want to close with this verse from Matthew chapter 4. It's 18 to 22. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon and Andrew. He said to them, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." Kai oithos, and immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. Going on from there, he saw two more brothers, James and John, the sons of thunder, mending their nets with their dad Zebedee. He called them Kai oithos, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. It's pretty low-key. Job interview. No resume was required. Jesus called these people to go and bring the light into the world. Brothers and sisters in Christ, 2020 is going to be an awesome year for Faith Lutheran Church. I absolutely believe it in my very bones. And I believe that God is going to continue to use this church to bring his light of love and grace and mercy into this world. And he wants you, he's inviting you today to be part of something bigger than yourself, something that lasts for all of eternity. Jesus is calling you to nothing less than walking in his light. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep all of our hearts, all of our minds,